Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Today's episode has been sponsored by Jay McLachlan. Jay McLachlan is a timeless lifestyle brand with incredible style and a spirit of connection. I am obsessed with Jay McLachlan and have been so honored that they are sponsoring my Zibbyverse tour. It just so happens that the tour goes to so many communities and areas of the country that have Jay McLachlan stores. And I love that the brand is philanthropic through Jay McLachlan's
local and loyal programming.
Host store events to give back to organizations that are meaningful to Jay McLachlan's local communities. I also love the fact that the clothes are just so chic. They make me feel polished and modern, and the best part is that most of the line comes in fabrics that don't wrinkle. I especially love the dresses, the cashmere sweaters, the other sweaters. You'll see them all over my Instagram. I typically tag at Jay McLachlan, and so you can check it out. It is absolutely one of my favorite brands, and I am over the moon excited to be working with them. In fact, I want to share the love with all of you. Jay McLachlan is giving 20% off new customers and listeners of my podcast with special code ZIBBY20, capital ZIBBY 20. That's 20% off for new customers and listeners of the podcast with special code capital ZIBBY20. Take advantage of it today. My favorites are this white, open, long cashmere sweater that I've been wearing on every flight that I've taken on this tour. I have a blue with light blue horizontal striped sweater, several dresses I even wore on Good Morning America. Check it out, Jay McLachlan. Thanks so much.
Hi, I'm Zibby Owens, and I am the host of this podcast, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. I am also a newly minted USA Today bestselling author of the novel Blank. I've created a whole community of book lovers around this podcast, a publishing company, reading retreats, a bookstore, and more. Learn more at ZibbyMedia.com or follow me on social at Zibby Owens or join the community at Zibby Readers. Amy Schoenthal is the author of The Setback Cycle, How Defining Moments Can Move Us Forward. Amy is a journalist, marketing consultant, and the author of The Setback Cycle, a book about how today's prominent founders and leaders overcome obstacles to find success. As a contributor to Forbes Women and Harvard Business Review, she shines the spotlight on leaders who have been historically underestimated, yet are doing the work to solve society's biggest problems. Her work has included interviews with a wide range of leaders, such as Senator Mazie Hirono, Tory Burch, Marie Kondo, Norma Kamali, and more. Amy also boasts a 2-decade marketing career working with some of the world's largest brands, from Procter & Gamble to Google. She now works with founders, corporations, nonprofits, and small businesses to shape their brand narratives and captivate audiences through strategic storytelling. After completing the setback cycle, she began working with organizations to help their employees and managers confidently lead through tumultuous times, offering the tools to help their teams navigate their own inevitable setbacks together. Amy previously wrote a children's book, A Magical Day in Sunnyside, a tribute to the independent-owned businesses in her own beloved neighborhood of Sunnyside, Queens, where she lives with her husband and 5-year-old daughter. Enjoy. Welcome, Amy. Thank you so much for coming on Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books to discuss the setback cycle.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Okay, tell everybody what your book is about, and was there a setback that spurred you to write this book?
Well, I was mostly inspired to write the book because I spent the last decade or so interviewing some of today's most incredible founders and leaders and innovators and people who I think are really doing the work to solve some of society's biggest problems. And I noticed a pattern. When you do something enough, you notice patterns and trends. And I kept seeing that every time I interviewed someone, the part of their story where they really lit up and started getting really excited to tell me how they built the thing they built that I was interviewing them about was when they came up with the idea for it after climbing out of their own personal or professional or career setbacks. And it went beyond just like, oh, I learned from my mistakes, or, you know, fall down seven times, get up eight. Like, it was more than that sort of like cliche, you know, we know that, you know, it wasn't like the Silicon Valley fail big and go make mistakes. Like, it was something different, and I couldn't quite articulate what it was. And so I started asking around, right? I couldn't quite figure out, like, what was this thing that wasn't like necessarily as dramatic as post-traumatic growth, because not every setback is a trauma, but it wasn't as simple as learning from your mistakes. And I talked to executive coaches and neuroscientists and psychologists. And what I realized was, you know, no one had really gone and done a thorough exploration of what a setback is and how transformative it can be, especially when it comes to business and careers and transformation.
Yeah, it's so true. Some people, they hit a setback and then they stop.
Yes.
And it's the people who have to get through the setback that end up having the success. But like, why do some people stop and some people push through? And like, what is it? Is it something you're born with? Is it something you learn? Like, where does it come from?
The answer is yes to all of that. You are born with it. You also learn it. And frankly, the understanding of how to work through it comes from having worked through it before. So there are four phases of the setback cycle. The first phase is establish. And that sounds really obvious, but it's not always obvious when you're entering a setback. Some people, and some of the people I interviewed, didn't realize that it was a setback that brought them to where they were today until like 40 years later for some of them, you know, because once you start talking about it and you start seeing things through this lens, you kind of understand these experiences for what they are. And it kind of casts a whole new light on it. And so I think, yes, some people get stuck in the established phase because they want to deny that they're in a setback. And so that's where I think, you know, where you're asking, people get debilitated or they freeze before they know how to move forward because they don't want to admit that they're having a problem or that they're having a setback. People who recognize setbacks for what they are can more easily identify them, can more quickly work through the established phase and move on to, you know, complete the cycle and emerge from whatever setback they're in, whether it's a big dramatic one or a more subtle one.
Interesting. I mean, it's really crazy for anyone to think they will not have a setback, right?
It's inevitable.
Who doesn't have a setback? If you don't have any setbacks, it means you're not trying things, right?
Yeah, I think it's paramount to the human experience. It's just, it depends on what you do with it when you encounter them.
That's what they say about parenting too, right?
Like, Soda.
Teach your kids to fail. And
parenting is its own form of setback. Like, any parent who tried to get their kid out the door to school today has already encountered at least, I would say, a minimum of 3 to 5 micro setbacks today.
Oh, 100%. We've had tears today. Like, by the time 8 o'clock rolls around, I've like, you know, I've had an emotional roller coaster like no other.
Yeah. You've been through a battle. Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, so you talked about establishment. I know you have four phases. So go through the other phases.
Yes. So first phase is establish, and that can last a very short time or a very long time, depending on how long it takes you to admit what you're in and what you're experiencing. The second phase is embrace. That's when you've acknowledged what you're in, but you kind of have to deal with it. And this is the phase I actually hate. I can't stand it. But you have to go through it to get to the next phase. Embrace is really just like taking stock and doing like an evaluation of where you are, why you got here, what may have led here, why you're feeling a certain way about it. You know, if you got laid off from your job or you didn't get that promotion you were going for, or you didn't get that big grant you were hoping to get, like, yes, of course, there's the logistical and financial implications of it, but is it a level deeper? Does it sort of bring up some sort of self-doubt or insecurities that you've faced at another time. And so like, why are these setbacks so impactful? And it's like, you have to like do the feel your feelings thing in Embrace. And it's not that
fun. This like, we should get like a bottle of wine and you should do a special label that says step two, Embrace.
Oh my God. I think you just figured out what I'm going to do for my mailers.
Alternatively, you can put it on like a pack of M&Ms or something. Totally. Like whatever you're going to drown your sorrows in.
Totally. CBD gummies, whatever.
Yeah, something. Whatever you know, your whatever thing is. Yeah. Okay, totally. I got it.
I love that.
All right. So one is we're having a setback. Mm-hmm. This is when you email someone and be like, okay, this just happened. And yes. Step two, we're embracing it. We're coping, however. Okay, next one.
We're dealing. Third phase is my favorite, actually. So once you've gotten through the, okay, we're dealing with it. It's like you're collecting the data and you're just like trying to understand why this is what it is. Mm-hmm. When you get to the third phase, that's explore. That's like, if you've just collected the data, now you're able to sort of go and beta test. Okay. And sorry, I worked in tech for a long time.
Totally fine.
but you're now able to go and say, okay, I understand why that happened and why I felt this way. Now let's go see what's possible. Let's play with different options and talk to people. Mm-hmm. Maybe if you're considering a career pivot because you're just disengaged with your career, which by the way, is a setback that you kind of sleepwalk into. Many mm-hmm. of us do that. Maybe it's time to explore a career pivot. So go talk to people in those other fields that you're interested in. If you're thinking of leaving the corporate world to go start your own business, talk to people who have done it, you know, start to figure out like what it would take for you to walk away. Mm-hmm. If you're thinking, I mean, we're here on this podcast. If you're thinking about writing that book, what's preventing you from starting? Why, you know, is it the self-doubt or is it just like the getting caught up in the day-to-day? Like I'm sure you talk about this with a lot of your writers. And I think this is just the explore phase where you get to have fun, but you don't really have to commit to a path forward. So it's kind of nice. Like all dating.
Right. What am I going to do next? All right.
Yes, exactly.
Surveying the options.
Yes. Exactly. Like take the pottery class, you know, right. do the paint and sip, like just kind of figure out what's lighting you up and what you're getting excited about, have conversations. And then the fourth phase is emerge. Mm-hmm. It's when you emerge from your setback. And the beginning of the emerge phase can be surprisingly difficult because it's like, you've made all these plans, you know what the path forward looks like, mm-hmm. but now you have to get up off the couch and go do the thing that you planned to do. And so that can be its own sort of like challenging situation. But the end of emerge is when you work through your setback and you get to look back and say, wow. And that's the part where you're going to light up when you go tell that story.
I'm literally like living out your cycle right now. Yes. Because like my first massive, not my first, but one writing world massive setback was trying to sell a novel when I was like 28. Years old and having it get rejected everywhere that my agent sent it out and realizing it wasn't going to sell. That like, I think it has taken me 20 years to go through all of that process. But now finally, you know, I've gone through everything. Should I do this? Should I do that? Yes. So the setback cycle can be a long one, right? You don't have to do this in like 20 minutes. Because this was like a 20-year cycle.
Totally. Because you look back or when you're maybe like trying to sell your second book for someone who has been through this and maybe pivoted away from it. You're trying to do something that sent you into a setback another time. All of a sudden you're kind of like dredging up those learnings mm-hmm. and those kind of like not so pleasant feelings of rejection that came up the first time around. And by the way, like getting a book deal or writing a book is a process that is so rife with setbacks, no matter where you are. I think from the author first starting out to the most accomplished author, just because I think the stakes get higher.
You should really just try to get like bulk sales by going to all the different literary agencies and saying like, you need to buy all these books. You can give them to your authors when they start pitching, but like should know what's coming next and all of that.
Every time you send out a rejection letter, please accompany the book with that rejection.
Refer to page 73 of this book and you'll
see. Exercise.
Yeah, it's all good. You're all good.
Exactly.
But what about setbacks that are totally random or not your fault or, you know, setbacks in the world, like things that are going on now, which are completely out of our control or, you know, trauma type setbacks. Like things that we don't expect, it's not because we worked hard and couldn't achieve something, but more like our life has taken a setback by something out of our control. Mm-hmm.
Setbacks are generally out of our control, whether it was a societal level setback, a professional setback, or even a personal setback, right? I mean, I feel like the last few years, we have just seen one societal setback after another.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost to the point where we're like getting desensitized, but we're also sort of like, okay, this happened. This is how the conversation's going to go. This is how the news cycle is going to go. And this is, it's almost like we can predict the, you know, the cultural reaction to it, not the, obviously the, I guess, larger implications, right? We have an election year coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be a whole probably series of setbacks leading up to that, or at least it's going to feel that way for some people. And I think when you start talking about societal level setbacks, I mean, think of some of the more divisive issues like abortion. So the overturning of Roe v. Wade, so many people saw as such a setback to women's reproductive rights, but then other people saw it as a huge step mm-hmm. forward
mm-hmm.
in what they were pushing for. And so you and I probably agree on certain societal level setbacks, but and other folks might be like, oh no, that was a win. Like that was progress.
You never know.
So, you never know. Exactly. Exactly. But I mean, when you even, you can kind of apply that lens to a personal setback. So think of a relationship ending, a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
That is one of the most common personal setbacks because again, the definition of a setback is a reversal in progress. So whether it's the traumas, the dramatic ones, or the subtle ones, right? The getting your kid out the door, it's we've made progress, we've moved forward, and then we were unexpectedly bumped backwards.
Mm-hmm.
So that can happen on any level, personal, professional, or societal. And you know what? They're all connected. They're all intertwined. How many women do you know who created incredible businesses after going through a divorce because they saw what they needed in the moment and what other people needed? I know. There's a reason I'm using that example.
I don't.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. As kids get older, some things about parenting can get easier. I mean, not many, but some. But others don't, like having conversations about money. Point is, kids won't really know how to manage their money unless they're actually in charge of it, and that is where Greenlight can help. Greenlight is a debit card and money app made for families. Parents can send money to their kids and keep an eye on their kids' spending and saving while kids and teens build money confidence and lifelong financial literacy skills. With the Greenlight app, kids can learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely thanks to games that teach money skills in a fun and accessible way. I got Greenlight debit cards for my kids. The greatest thing, you can actually add their photos that take up half the card. So when I handed the cards to the kids, they were like, this is so exciting. So they look great. Unfortunately, I only put the required 2 cents on at the beginning to make sure they worked. So the kids were like, well, what should I spend my 2 cents on? Anyway, millions of parents and kids are learning about money on Greenlight. It's the easy, convenient way for parents to raise financially smart kids and families to navigate life together. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free when you go to greenlight.com/Zibby. That's greenlight.com/Zibby to try Greenlight for free. Greenlight.com/Zibby.
This is so funny because my kids had this assembly or whatever today and they were reading The Fox, the Mole, the Horse, you know that book, Fox, Maybe. The Mole, who was the other one? The Boy, the Fox, the Mole, and whatever, the okay. famous book. Anyway, but there was a part where they've been going on this journey the whole time. And of course, like, they did it so nicely in school with, you know, music and whatever. But basically, they get lost, this group of, you know, unexpected friends. And they're like, don't you feel like we're all the way, you know, back at the beginning? And they said, well, no, we're not lost because look at how far we've come already. And even at the end, they were like, this is just a step on the way. So it's sort of like just another way of being like, don't get discouraged. You know, this is all on the path. You know, these are just like totally concrete things. Anyway.
Totally. And I think about women who have created businesses, you know, at 40, 50, 60. And so many women, when we get to these ages, think like, oh, it's too late. I can't start over now. And it's like, you're not really starting over. I couldn't have gotten a book deal at 20. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It had to be when I was closer to 40, because that's when I had the connections and I had the understanding of what more I could possibly do because of all the setbacks I went through in my 20s and 30s. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's the knowledge and the recognition of when you're going through the setback cycle or people around you are going through it, and then identifying what those people need, you know? And so...
Okay, yeah. What was a professional setback for you?
I had a very common, very undramatic, but very commonly experienced professional setback when I became pregnant and I was working in the corporate world. I was at a marketing agency that valued, you know, boozy lunches and all the happy hours. I mean, this is pre-pandemic when there was a lot more in-person socializing, and also there was a lot more drinking going on. I feel like our culture has sort of like stepped away from drinking, but this is before all that. And it was like a very, like, they always said, like, business is done at the bar, you know? And so I was, I think, the most senior woman on my team in my department, and I got pregnant. And I mean, I had all the literature, I had all the articles, I had all the friends who had done it. And I even had people like at other departments at my agency who had done it and succeeded, and they were still like on a very good career path. And so I thought, okay, I can probably overcome this. And yet I still waited such a long time to tell anyone that I was pregnant because I kind of knew, right? And sure enough, I shared my news, which everyone knew because I was like already showing by the time I admitted it.
My news is I like bumped into the doorframe.
I know. They were like, yeah, we know, Amy. And so, but there was a reason I was so hesitant to share my news. And because sure enough, I was no longer invited to the boozy lunches. I was no longer invited to the happy hours. So I was cut out of conversations. Then, of course, I go on maternity leave and I think that I'm going to come back and everything's going to be exactly the same. And I come back and I'm so excited to dive back into my accounts that I had spent, you know, however many years building before I went on leave. And sure enough, my workload was reduced by more than half. Like all the business that I ran before I left was given to other non-parents to run. Because they had done a great job in my absence, and we wanted to give them all the opportunities that they very much deserved. But there was no consideration to what I might have energy to do upon my returning. There was a lot of coddling. There was a lot of like, oh, no. Like, you know, take the time. Like, be at home with your baby, take a lighter workload. But that decision wasn't discussed with me. It was made by other people based on assumptions.
Got it.
But what happens when you sideline an ambitious woman? She turns her energy and ambitions elsewhere. And it's really not. Exactly. So it's not a coincidence that my writing career, my freelance writing career, took off the same year my daughter was born. It's not a coincidence that I started really focusing on the setback stories of founders and leaders who I was interviewing, because I was obviously a little more in tune to that. But my established phase lasted for years because I didn't realize I was in a setback. I just sleepwalked into it. I didn't really realize how, you know, far aside I had been cast at my agency until two women on my team came to me separately. They weren't really friends. They came to me separately and they said, you know, we saw what happened when you came back from maternity leave, and I'm very afraid to become a mother here. And that was, I mean, that knocked the wind out of me, because it was like, not only had I not like done a good job of sort of advocating for myself in that moment, I hadn't made it better for the woman who came after me. And so it was like, talk about a reversal in progress. Like,
yeah.
So I started talking about it and I let my boss know and I let other people know, hey, this happened. It wasn't cool. No one was, you know, pumped to talk to me about that. No one liked hearing this, but I at least raised the awareness of the issue at this one agency in this one department at this one time. And in the meantime, I wrote the book. And
there you go.
Here we are. Yes.
What about a personal setback that you don't often share?
That's a really great question, one that I have never been asked. A personal setback. I mean, I think that as women, and apparently people who have really close friendships and relationships, you know, friendships really take the form of, you know, strengthening and weakening throughout different seasons of our lives. And I think sometimes it's really easy to maintain these friendships and sometimes it's really hard. And I think when people like move far away from each other, you experience a little bit of a loss of connection, a loss of community, and especially, you know, becoming a parent and then being sort of surrounded by just like the people who live near you and the people who your kids are playing with, like that becomes your community, which is great. But then you feel a little bit of a distance from other communities. And it's, I think those, to me, are like relationship setbacks and personal setbacks because you're like, oh, I wish I could tell this person what's going on, but they don't have the context for all the other stuff because they moved across the country and I haven't caught up with them in 3 months. And you all of a sudden, like you kind of feel that loss of friendship, of relationship just because of time and life seasons. I mean, yeah, I think those are, that's a personal setback that I think we all.
Okay. Well, that was not personal enough for me. So you keep thinking if there's another one. Sorry. Keep digging into you know, your traumatic past and
I will.
Feel free to volunteer.
I'll bring my therapist to our next discussion.
That would be great.
Okay, great.
So you have all this expertise in marketing and branding and strategy, right? People come to you. You're the consultant of, you know, just this is your jam. So when you think about releasing a book, which is another product, it's another brand, how have you approached the marketing of your book?
I have a handful of clients that I work with to help kind of like shape their narrative and organize their thought leadership and really focus on sort of like the areas that they need to lean into and the audiences that they want to reach. And I just treat my book marketing as its own client.
Okay.
And I'm thinking through like, who wants to hear me talk about setbacks, which hopefully is your audience and, and other similar ones. And how do I get to the right folks to get the message that they need to hear? And so that happens, I think, a lot on podcasts focused on women, focused on writers, focused on people in creative fields, focused on, I think when the pre-sale went live, it hit number one in midlife management, because I think midlife is an area ripe with setbacks. It's ripe with like this, I think a lot of the people that I talk to now are like, wow, I reached this incredible pinnacle of my career, this thing that I have been working towards for 10, 15, 20 years. Is this all there is? Everyone's kind of like, is this, am I in a setback? I can't tell you how many people, just friends of mine, are like, I reached this thing. I did the thing. I need your book because I don't know what to do next. I think I want to start all over again. And again, like back to my point of, I think that's why so many 40, 50, 60 year olds come up with incredible business ideas. It's because they're sort of ready for a change. So yeah.
Wow. Can you like give me the 2 second version of your, like, where did you grow up and what jobs did you have to get to here? And how did you end up, how do you pick, this is a totally separate question, but I don't want to forget. How do you pick all the women for your Forbes Women column?
Oh my God. Okay.
You can start with that. Either way.
I could do my origin story.
Origin story, please.
Origin story is, well, I grew up in New York in the suburbs, and then I went to college at the University of Maryland where I majored in journalism, and I got a job my senior year doing public relations for a technology institute that had like an entrepreneurship incubator as part of its programming. And so they had students in their dorm rooms creating businesses. And I was the one that went and crafted their stories to tell their stories to the press. To get press for this incubator. It was called the Maryland Technology Enterprise Institute. It's like so cool. Born into my head.
Yeah.
And one of the people I interviewed in his dorm room was Anthony Casalina. He was just a fellow student, and he went on to create a little company called Squarespace. So he was like the first entrepreneur I ever really interviewed and wrote about when we were, you know, back in college. And so, yes, then I graduated and I got this I always had this big career in marketing and public relations, marketing, social media, digital, but I never stopped doing freelance writing. Mm-hmm. So it was like just this little hobby. I mean, it took me so long. I don't even think I called myself a writer until like a couple years ago, because it just felt wrong to call myself a writer when it wasn't my full-time job.
I get it. Been there. Yep.
Yeah. That's something I know we all struggle with. Like, what does it take to actually call yourself a writer? Like, I was already writing for Forbes for quite a while before I felt comfortable introducing myself in that way. So that's a whole other story. And I'm a formally trained journalist. So I don't know what it takes to call yourself a writer, but I really, really struggled with that for a long time. So that's my origin story.
Okay.
And I'm always freelance writing. And I think, how do I pick people to write about? So I guess my guardrails, you'll call them, that might be marketing terms. So sorry to be annoying and jargony, but the guardrails that I put into place when choosing who to profile are, what obstacles did you overcome to get to where you are? And what are you doing to further society in some way?
Mm-hmm.
So when I get pitches from publicists about like some great new beauty product, I mean, I want to know about it. I'm a consumer of beauty products, but like, I'm not going to write about a beauty product. You know what I mean? There's plenty of journalists that do that. And that's mm-hmm. not me. I want to know. And I'm always very candid with people. I say like, I don't write about this. If you have a great founder story of someone who, you know, I want to know like the messy middle of your story, right? I don't want, you know, the kid whose, you know, parents gave him $300,000 to go start a coffee company. Like, that's great for that kid. But that's not an interesting story to me. Like, who was successful despite the odds, right? Despite what they had to overcome. Like, tell me your story and tell me what you had to deal with, because that's the relatable piece. That's what people care about. And then how are you using what you learned to benefit society and further culture in some way?
Hmm. Very cool. Is there anybody on your wish list of women, like some famous person that you haven't had a chance to profile yet, but want to?
There is... Oh my God, there's so many. I really wanted to interview Whitney Wolf Herd for so long, and then I just got to, and nice. That was very cool. Gosh, I don't know. I'll probably think of someone as soon as we get off this podcast, but yeah. I mean, anyone who has had to overcome something, barriers, obstacles, setbacks, mm-hmm. and found success despite the odds. Those are the people I want to talk about, whether you're famous or not.
You should interview this woman, Jen Drummond. I just read her book called Breakproof, and she was in a car accident, but she's also a big consultant and motivational speaker. Like, she does all these things. She has 7 kids, and she decided after her setback to climb all the 7 mountains of the world.
Oh, I've heard of her. Yes, she would be a great person.
I don't know. Could be a fun story. I don't know.
Yes.
Not like you need help, but anyway. Okay, well, any advice to aspiring authors?
Don't let the setbacks get you down. I can't tell you how many times I was rejected by agents, by editors, but they gave me feedback. In those rejections, there was feedback. Take the feedback. Mm-hmm. Because when I first came around with this book, it was just a collection of stories. And almost every single agent and editor I shopped this around to said, we don't want to publish an anthology. That's mm-hmm. hard to sell. We don't want to sell an anthology. But there's something here. Mm-hmm. Like, I heard back from a lot of people. They said, there's something here, but right now it reads as a lot of different stories.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to make that thread, that connective tissue, so much stronger. And I spent like a year doing that. And that's how I strung these stories together and realized that they were all going through the same cycle. And that's what led to this book. So take the rejection with the feedback and Definitely. Use it to fuel your next step.
It's amazing. Well, thank you so much. Thanks for coming on Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. And I hope that there are not too many setbacks in your near future.
I hope the same for you.
Thank you. Thanks for listening to Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. If you love it, please leave a review and follow us on social at Zibby Owens and at Zibby Readers.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.